Hey everybody, Joe from Stop and Think News here. I'm guessing you're all alive, unless you got into a car accident from the solar event that took place today, the eclipse. As I said over the past couple of shows, it was all hype, all meant to prop up Biden's failing crap economy. So if you went out and you panic bought thinking that, oh, well, if public officials are saying it, you were probably one of the ones that went and bought toilet paper when they claimed that COVID was going to kill you as well. I'm just going to go out there on a limb and say you probably fell for that. It was all by design. You know, NASA even decided to fire rockets at the moon, supposedly, just to spread that panic, get people worked up, go out and buy stuff to stay prepared when we maybe weren't all the way prepared for something that was a natural event. So congrats, you know, give yourself a pat on the back, because in a month or two, if you went out and did that, you're going to hear about what a great economy Biden has going. It's been stimulated. Enjoy. Other than that, really not a ton of really super important news to talk about, honestly. Your usual, you know, clown world nonsense is going on as usual. Nothing too earth-shattering that's worth dedicating show time to or anything. I do want to say this, though. Look back at who was telling you that this eclipse was going to be the end times, that it was going to, you know, that they were going to lock us in camps. That's why they were getting the National Guard ready. Look back at these people. See who said that to you. And then unfollow them. Because clearly they're agents for the Biden administration. I mean, honestly. And honestly, yeah, there's some good information on TikTok. Tory Says is on there, for example. But for the most part, it's CCP propaganda. And that's who pays them, you know, pays these people. And they get a script. I'm actually going to play a video in a little bit here. I got two videos for you today that I wanted to check out with you. But there's another video as well that I want to play with you or for you that will show you exactly what the Democrats are all about. I'm actually pulling that up now because, you know, I forgot right before the show to do so. But I'm going to play this one second to the first one. But what I want to do today is I just want to show you these two videos for the main reason of showing you that the Democrats, they're not legit. They're not a real thing. They're no longer relevant. They have pretty much just backed themselves into a corner with their influencers, backed themselves into a corner with their messaging. They know Trump's going to win. They're going to try everything they can to prop up, you know, this administration. I hate even calling it an administration. We know who's running it. It's Obama. But hey, I mean, that's a conspiracy theory, right? So, but what I wanted to show you first, I'm just getting that first one loaded up for you. But what I wanted to show you first is, I'll get this one pulled up real quick. Whoa, sorry about that. I want to turn the volume down on that before we get it booted up. Is this video of Eric Swalwell, and he's in court with one of Trump's lawyers. And it will illustrate to you how fake these people are on Twitter versus the, you know, the real world where they can be held accountable for things that they say and do. And the video comes from Fashion Trends, I guess. And I'm not really sure exactly how old this video is at all. I have no idea. But it was posted 11 hours ago. And this may be a slightly older video. Some of these channels with these, you know, weird names or whatever, they tend to post a little bit older stuff. But I've never seen it. I'm assuming you've never seen it. If you're listening on one of the podcast platforms. Not really a whole lot to see. He pretty much reads what you need to see, so you're good. You'll be able to follow along with this video. Definitely pay attention, because you're going to hear a whole different Swalwell than what you see on the news and what you see on Twitter. And no big shock from CCP Swalwell, who was dating a Chinese spy, right? But here we go. Take a listen to this. I found this fascinating, how fake these tough guys are in real life. Off the cameras, off the internet. Just take a listen. Here, let me adjust the volume. That is extremely loud. I thought I had already done that, but I guess not.
Good afternoon, Representative Swalwell.
Good afternoon, Council.
Am I correct that you weren't injured on January 6th?
I was not, no. Absolutely.
Yet you are the plaintiff in a personal injury lawsuit that you brought against Donald Trump in the United States District Court, District of Columbia, is that correct?
Yes.
And you're seeking damages in that lawsuit?
Unstated, but yes, meaning no dollar amount is unstated.
And as a lawyer, you understand that if this proceeding against President Trump is successful, that would improve your chances of success in that lawsuit? Correct?
I'm sorry, Council, can you rephrase the question?
Yeah. You're a lawyer, are you not?
Yes.
And you understand that if this case goes against President Trump, that likely increases your probability of success in your personal injury lawsuit against him, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Relevance.
Goes to bias, Your Honor.
I'll leave it to the legal experts as to what this means for a separate lawsuit. I don't know.
Is it your view, sir, that President Trump has some, or had some, lesser quantum of First Amendment rights than every other American on January 6th?
No, it's not right.
So he enjoyed the full, as far as you're concerned, he had every right that every other American had to speak with full First Amendment protections on that date.
In accordance with the law, yes.
And you pointed out that during his January 6th speech, he used the phrase fight and fight like hell, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you would acknowledge that that is, in fact, common, or not certainly not uncommon discourse in political circles during speeches, right?
I'm sorry, could you clarify?
Yeah, politicians often say fight or fight like hell or words like that, right, when they give speeches.
Yes, sir.
You've done it yourself, right?
I have.
Many of your Democratic colleagues do that too, right?
That's right. That's correct. Okay.
And when you do it, you're not calling for physical violence, right?
I am not.
And you're not saying that your Democratic colleagues are calling for physical violence, right?
In my experience, that's not how I've interpreted it, no.
And you judge that by the words that are said, right?
And the surroundings. Where they are, but yes.
Notice that when he and his colleagues say it, they don't mean what Trump meant. Are you catching that? And this is after he admitted that Trump was well within his rights to speak his mind on January 6th, and it was totally legal and everything was lawful. Is that what he says on CNN? Is that what he says on MSNBC? Is that what he says on Twitter? Nope. Is that what he's saying when he's under oath in court? Yep. Keep that in mind.
I'd like to show you Exhibit 1066, which is was designated as a cross exhibit. Well, I'm not asking you to put it up on the screen. I'm asking, did you have an objection to that?
Oh, No.
Could you put up exhibit 1066, please?
Are you asking for it to be admitted?
I will, yes, since it appears to be no objection. Can it be admitted, Your Honor?
Yeah. 1066 is admitted.
Okay. And, sir, I will represent to you that this is a collection of tweets from your Twitter account. And I'm sorry. We're having a slight technical snafu, so just ask you to bear with us. I'm not going to go through all of these, sir, but why don't we look at page 16 first? So if you put page 16 up.
Can I ask you if
you recognize that as a tweet from your verified Twitter account dated May 2nd, 2022?
Yes, I
do. Okay. And you wrote, if you think they'll stop with a woman's right to choose, you haven't been paying attention. We have to fight like our lives depend on it, because clearly they do. You wrote that, right?
Yes, I did.
And you were not calling for any sort of physical fight, correct?
No, sir.
You were not advocating violence?
I was not.
Correct. He wasn't advocating violence at all. He was, what was he doing? He was using free speech to say, you know, you fight for things. You fight for a relationship. You fight for your kids. You fight for your party. You fight for your country. You fight. Now, unlike Biden, who said he would take Trump out behind the woodshed and beat him up, and unlike a few other Democrats who also said similar, we know what he means. And it's exactly what Trump said. We're going to go be peacefully heard and so on and so forth, and we're going to fight for our rights, yada, yada. It's only an issue when Trump says it, though. You notice. You'll notice that, right?
And if you look at the next page, please. Okay, and this is another tweet from your verified account. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you wrote, this is just the beginning. They won't stop. Fight like your lives depend on it, because they do. Right?
It says hashtag vote blue. Yes.
And again, you were not calling for physical violence. That was a metaphorical fight, right?
Right.
And I can go through a bunch more examples, but I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on that.
This is not my audio. This is it was the actual other, video audio, so I apologize.
I did want to bring your attention to ask you about it. If you would look at page 13, please. Is this a tweet from your verified Twitter account dated February 4th, 2022?
Looks like it, yes.
Okay. And you write there, Cheney and Kinzinger may not be in my party, but in this fight, we're all on the same side. Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And what fight were you referring to here?
I had to see the tweet above it to have context, but I'm assuming based on the date that it refers to the January 6th investigation, but again, I have to have no context.
But when you say the January 6th investigation, you mean the January 6th Select Committee?
Yes.
Okay, and that was because Representatives Cheney and Kinzinger were the two Republican members who Speaker Pelosi had appointed to that committee. Is that right?
That's right.
And you considered them to be on your side of that fight. Correct.
I think I said we, but all of our stuff, yes, which I was on, yes.
Okay. All right, we'll put that exhibit aside. Now, earlier today, counsel showed you some tweets by President Trump. You remember that?
I do.
Did counsel pick which tweets they were going to show you, or did you discuss with them which tweets you wanted to testify about?
Those were chosen by counsel.
Did you have an objection?
So
I'm sorry, so now I missed the, can you repeat the question and answer?
I think he said that they were chosen by counsel, Your Honor.
Okay.
So one that counsel focused on, if you would put up the 2:24 p.m. So this is exhibit 148, page 83 in that first one. Do you remember discussing this one from 2:24 p.m.?
Yes, I do.
And then if you go to the next page, the second tweet on that page. And you remember discussing the second tweet at 6:01 from 6:01 p.m.?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now let's look at the two that counsel decided to skip.
Okay.
So
the first one was talking about, it was the one where Pence was too cowardly to do what he was supposed to do, which is factual. In the first one, he says, let me get to it for people who... It says, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution, giving states a chance to certify corrected a set of facts, not the fraudulent or inaccurate ones which they were asked to previously certify. USA demands the truth, okay? And then the second one that he asked him about says, I guess he doesn't read all of them, so my bad, y'all. These are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who have been badly and unfairly treated for so long. Go home with love and peace. Remember this day forever. Go home with love and peace. Remember this day forever. Now he's going to bring up another tweet that they conveniently skipped over, it sounds like.
Discussing the second tweet at 6:01 from 6:01 p.m.?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now let's look at the two that counsel decided to skip that were right in between those two. Okay? Let's look first at the tweet from 15 minutes after the first one you discussed at 2:24 p.m. Page 83, second tweet on the page.
I see it.
Okay. And at 2:38 p.m., 15 minutes or so after the tweet that you discussed about Vice President Pence, you see that President Trump wrote, "Please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful." Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember reading that on January 6th?
I do.
Okay. What did you understand that tweet to mean?
So he remembers seeing that tweet. These are the same people that claimed that he did nothing, he said nothing to try to stop it. In fact, only encouraged it. But he admits in court while under oath that he saw damn well this tweet up on Twitter before they ripped the president's account down so people couldn't see it and they could start their bullshit narratives.
That we needed 10 exits before he sent it, before the mob had come. But he, I imagine, had seen the violence committed against the officers and believed that he had the power, because he sent them there, to stop them from abusing the officers.
So that's what, strike that. So whether he had the power or not, certainly he's telling people to support our Capitol Police and law enforcement and stay peaceful, right?
In that tweet, yes.
Yeah. And he told them that in his speech, right? He told them to proceed peaceably and patriotically to the Capitol, right?
You'd have to play that for me. I don't.
Okay, well. The judges heard it, so I'm not going to take the time to replay that now. Let's look at the next tweet that he sent at 3:13 p.m., if you put that up, please. You see that tweet? He says, "I'm asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence!" Exclamation mark. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you! Exclamation mark. You see that?
I do, sir. Yes.
Okay. Do you remember reading that on January 6th?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
So yet another one. He clearly remembers reading. Isn't that interesting? Because when you hear these people on MSNBC and CNN and on Twitter, it's like these tweets don't exist. Do they? Nope. Never. Not to these people. But when they're under oath, their stories change. I'm just going to keep pointing that out.
What did you understand that to mean on January 6th, sir?
That a lot of violence had taken place. At that time, I was, as I said, probably just arriving with a gas mask in my hand to the evacuation room. And the president is asking the violent rioters to stop attacking the police.
Oh, so the president's asking the rioters to stop attacking the police, and poor Swalwell was going to a safe room with a gas mask. Now, when Black Lives Matter lit Washington, D.C. on fire just before President Trump was stolen, his presidency was stolen, he was taken to the basement of the White House for his protection because, you know, he was the president. And left-wing media outlets thought that was hilarious and made fun of him for that. So did some of these politicians. Yet these are the same outlets and politicians who made it seem very dramatic and very important that they had to be removed and taken to a safe place. But when Trump did it, it was comedic and funny and ha ha ha, look what Black Lives Matter did. They almost burnt down the White House. They burned up a bunch of D.C. It was a mostly peaceful protest, right? That's not what they called that one, but you know, you get what I'm saying. That was no big deal. This was a huge deal. Most of the smoke you even saw there, well, all of the smoke you even saw there was coming from police cannons that were firing gas canisters at a crowd. They were beating on old ladies to incite the crowd and get them worked up, pushing them down steps. A woman was trampled in a tunnel. Nobody even died from this except for Trump supporters. And it's finally come out that supposedly Ashley Babbitt was trying to prevent people from going into that room when that cop shot her. I did not see that on video, but that video where she got shot, the beginning of it, where she gets shot, was, you know, not very good. So whatever your feelings are on that, the truth is, Trump supporters were the only ones that died that day. The cops that died afterwards died from other causes unrelated to this, but they were still pushed by these same politicians, these fake Democrat and rhino politicians, to try to make this thing seem bigger than it was. And until probably last year, we didn't even hear that anybody had guns. Now, all of a sudden, a couple people had guns. Ooh, an armed insurrection. 5 to 10 people had guns. It was an armed insurrection against the entire Capitol Police and what would have been our reserves if Nancy Pelosi had allowed it, which we now know she prevented. So, yeah, this is what we've got about another just under 10 minutes of this idiot showing his true self while under oath. So I want you to hear the whole thing just because, like, I mean, dude.
So that's a couple of posts between the two posts that you had previously discussed where the president is asking people to stop attacking and be peaceful, right?
In these tweets, yes.
In those tweets. And we looked at a short video of about 1 minute where he asked people to do exactly the same thing, right? To be peaceful.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. And that came somewhere in the 3 o'clock hour, so presumably around or slightly after that 3:13 p.m. tweet, right?
That's about right, yes.
I'm done with that document. Thank you. I don't have any further questions to you, sir. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions?
All right, apparently that video is over and the rest is all just promoting the channel. So that was from Fashion Trends. Eric Swalwell humiliates himself with ridiculous tweets. Trump's lawyer schools him. I felt like that was kind of an important video to share because, like I said, it shows exactly who these freaking people are, doesn't it? It shows you how fake they are and how just ridiculous they are. I mean, I don't know. What else would you call it? Ridiculous, right? I mean, come on. These are the same people that were pushing that narrative for how many years now? And at the end of the day, we wound up with what? We wound up with Eric Swalwell on the stand saying that the opposite happened than what you hear him say on MSNBC and what you hear him say on all these other channels. The complete opposite thing. And it's not a surprise to you and it's not a surprise to me because they're all fake. Just like rhinos are fake. They claim to love America. But at the end of the day, what they really love is, you know, re-election and power and the shady backroom deals where they sell out your country and you and the citizens. And that's what they actually love. So, I mean, we can pretend it's otherwise. I mean, all you want. If you were one that was going to vote for one of the other rhinos that were running, great. You're part of the problem, you know? I mean, what else do you want me to say to you? I'm going to get this other video loaded up as well. This is from Liberal Hive Mind. I want this video to, this is just as important as the last video. So you've heard of these teenagers. I can't think of what they're called. He'll say it in the video, what their names are or whatever this one kid's name is. He always has this other kid with him. But they're supposedly super, super left. And oh my God, it's a totally natural thing that they're constantly talking about Biden and how great he is. And you're supposed to believe that it's a natural thing. Then it kind of came out that, oh, maybe it's not so natural. Maybe they're being paid to say these things. Let me play this video. This is from Liberal Hive Mind. The video is called, Well, Well, Well. I guess he can't deny it anymore, huh? So let me go ahead and play this. It might start out a little loud for you. I apologize. I'll do my best to fix it as fast as possible. But here you go.
Hey guys, welcome to the Liberal Hive Mind, the channel solely focused on exposing the absolute nonsense leftist grift. I think it was maybe 6 months or so ago, I was talking about how everything on the left seems Hollywood, you know, it's all so fake. Whenever a new name pops up, whenever a new face pops up that seems to be taking the internet by storm, it never seems like an organic person rising through the ranks in meritocratic fashion, you know, building an audience because they're genuine human beings that are connecting with their audience. No, it's always a studio construction. Individual, a talking head that just comes out of nowhere. Whether it's the actual talking heads in the media, or the celebrity talking heads who are paid to essentially get Joe Biden elected, or these days, the up-and-coming TikTok celebrities and social media influencers, every pro-Biden influencer is never actually a real human being. No, they're all actors. And of course, you guys know I wouldn't be saying this without the receipts. Well, thanks to some incredible work by an independent investigative journalist who goes by the name of Sarah Fields, we now have some very interesting insight into the world of fake, paid-for Democrat shills or Biden shills. We're talking about Harry Sisson once again. He has been completely and utterly exposed at this point. Let me show you guys exactly what I mean by that. We got some stuff to get into, so let's roll the tape. All right, folks. So we're talking about Harry J. Sisson, this guy.
What the Republican Party doesn't understand about Gen Z is we don't like you. And Gen Z is watching the Republican Party extremely closely as they destroy our environment, take rights away from women, do nothing about kids being shot in schools. And if they think they can give the middle finger to our generation and get away with it, they're sorely mistaken.
You know, the guy who's got that whole shtick that Gen Z is coming for the Republicans. Gen Z is going to get Joe Biden elected. Riz no cap skibbity. Well, initially, months ago, he was exposed as possibly being a paid DNC shill. As you can see on his social media company, he's represented by a talent agency by the name of Palette Management. It was then exposed that Palette Management had received hundreds of thousands of dollars from the DNC. And of course, these are the two clowns, Harry Sisson and his friend, I don't know, I forget his name, not even relevant. These two guys are obviously the ones getting paid those DNC bucks. I mean, you can tell the DNC is getting exactly what they paid for.
This is fantastic. President Biden teamed up with Bernie Sanders to slam Donald Trump in a new video. He gave a huge tax cut out to the top 1%. Whereas during Biden's presidency, he has protected all of these social programs and more, make them pay their fair share with President Biden. I'm gonna go with Joe Biden. President Biden trusts women to make choices that are best for them, their bodies, and their families in consultation with their doctor, not in consultation with a Republican politician.
So essentially they were exposed, but it wasn't totally official, you know. It's not like we have internal documents proving the claims. Most of it was speculation. And of course the two boys responded and said, that's ridiculous. We're not being paid. These are our actual opinions. But then, unfortunately for them, there was a little bit of a Freudian slip during one of their interviews.
To be honest, it's actually really hard in this space, right? Like, we have like 45 seconds to record a video, keep right. people's attention. And a lot of the people on our side, like, if they start hearing, like, I've actually done it before. I've criticized like a Democrats, like specifically Hakeem Jeffries, and it all just went south. Like, I started losing followers. Like, it's bad, right? And I really want to be that person that like reaches the other side, because Democrats, I mean, they're horrible at their jobs, right? They do a lot of shitty things, although I'll vote for them all the time. But it's also hard in the space to criticize
That's a
them.
Good, can we clip yeah. that quote? They're horrible
please
at their
don't.
Jobs.
Please don't clip that. Please.
That's what we covered in that video all those months ago.
And that's the thing. You see, this isn't a Freudian slip. This is how all Democrats sound right now. They all sound this way. They're like, yeah, Democrats don't really do anything for us. They only want us for 4 years or for, the election cycle. And then during the 4 years that follows, they totally ignore us. That's what black folks say. That's what everybody says. But then it's vote blue no matter who. No matter who, vote blue. That's what they say. Even though they will openly admit, like this little shit did, that Democrats don't do anything for anybody. Make it make sense. Like, if Trump didn't do anything his last term, if nothing was great, if it was all BS like it is with all these other politicians and has been for a long time, I wouldn't have voted for him again. Plain and simple. I don't care what party you are. It doesn't. What sense does it make? Literally, let's destroy the country so that we can vote party over country. But then that's what they claim we're doing when we voted for Trump, who had record high wages, lowest taxes for everybody across the board, not just rich people like this little asshole claims. He had low gas prices. We could afford to buy groceries. We could afford to buy whatever we really wanted. And everybody was working. And they hated it. So they made up the COVID lie and destroyed all that. And then Trump began building it back. And Joe Biden walked into that and said that he did that. You can literally see graphs where it was recovering thanks to things that Trump was doing. But whatever. Yeah. So that's how fake these people are. Now you're going to find out even faker how much faker these people are than you even thought. Here, take a listen.
You know, essentially saying the quiet part out loud, that we're paid shills and we would love to say what we actually think about things, but we can't because we're scripted NPCs meant to increase youth voter turnout. Well, anyways, I mean, that's all the backstory. That's the little flashback. That's the context here. While most of it was speculation, I'd argue today, or at this point, it's no longer speculation. It's been completely exposed. Take a look at this TikTok right over here.
So I'm really happy for Harry that he got to do an interview with the governor of Pennsylvania. But Harry, were you aware that all of your text messages, emails, and other communications with government officials is part of the public record?
And I will point out, I bash TikTok, but I did say at the beginning of this show, literally you can find some good information on there. I pointed out the Tories on there, so it's whatever, but the majority of it is just BS. So here, take a listen.
Therefore subject to a Freedom of Information request? But don't worry, Harry, I haven't submitted any of those requests. However, your favorite investigative journalist did. I just want to be clear real quick that none of this is my research, and all credit goes to Sarah Isenser. That's her on X, and you can also follow her on TikTok at Sarah for Texas. So Harry's been posting videos like this, where he says, I asked Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania how he'll respond if Trump tries to overturn the election results. You know, basically pretending that that was a question he wanted to ask. However, the text messages that Sarah was able to get tell a different story.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
See, this is Harry's conversation with Gavin Lichtenstein. Gavin is the director of digital partnerships for the governor. And what's Gavin saying here? Hey, Harry, it's Gavin with Governor Shapiro's team. Excited for tomorrow. I'm working on getting you an embargoed version of the script with bullet points so you can prepare. It's funny because if I had been interviewing a government official and he sent me a text that said he was going to give me a script, I would question why I need one. But Harry's response is, cool, thanks. I'll give him credit because he did ask if it would be possible to ask some questions about our democracy. But if you actually watch the interview, which I have to say, sadly, I did for the sake of being able to make this video, yeah, he never asked any of those questions. No, Harry stayed on script. And the funny thing is that Harry has denied that this has been set up by Pallet Management. He's tried to deny that he's been compensated to do this interview. But we know that's not true. This was all set up courtesy of Kevin Pham, who is Harry's talent manager at Pallet. And Sarah, being the outstanding investigative journalist she is, actually tried to clarify this with Harry. Asked him, did Pallet Management handle your interview with Josh Shapiro? Was there a financial transaction between the two? Oh, and Harry saw the message. Gotta love read receipts. So thanks to Sarah, we now know that his entire interview with the governor was scripted. And it was scripted by the governor's team with bullet points. We also know that it was set up by Pallet Management. Good job, Kevin. I've never known a talent agency to work for free. There was obviously financial compensation for this interview, but none of his videos about this point out that it's a paid partnership. Harry, do you know what they call doing paid political advertisements for a candidate and not disclosing that you're paid for it? Hey, little buddy, that's a crime. But hey, I guess liberal creators can commit crimes on this platform and not be punished by TikTok.
Well, there it is. Thanks to a FOIA request, thanks to some very, very good journalistic work, or rather investigative journalistic work, the whole thing's been exposed. Literal scripted content. Yeah, let's all take advice on how to think and who to vote for by the guy who's literally getting paid by the politicians vying for power. What?
And I'm just gonna be completely honest here and say it's not just happening on the left either. All these influencers that you have on the right do the same thing, even your favorite ones. They want money for their endorsement of you if you run for office. It's all just a big pay for play scheme, and the right's supposed to be against it, but they do it too. I like it or don't like it, I'm honest about everything, and that's the truth. All of them are paid to do and say what they do half the time. It is what it is, right? And that's why I always say, and I think Tori also is always saying, like, be careful who you follow. Don't follow these people that are self-proclaimed influencers, because they all have an agenda. Candace Owens, all of them. It's all BS. I'm just telling you. It might hurt to hear it, but it's true.
An absolute joke. This continues to expose how the cookie is made. When Donald Trump was president, it was a non-stop assault. It was 10,000 Jim Acostas versus Donald Trump, asking him not only hard-hitting questions, but constantly asking him gotchas, hitting him with fake news from anonymous sources. I mean, it was a complete journalistic onslaught. Or can't really call it journalistic, it was a complete fake news onslaught. But with Joe Biden, with Democrat politicians, we see the same trend over and over again. They don't get asked hard questions. No, they get scripted questions, just like Hillary Clinton back in 2016, how she knew about all the debate questions before the debate actually happened. Was Trump given a heads up? No, of course not. And of course, just like we see with Joe Biden constantly with his, you know, little note cards, the questions are all pre-screened, scripted, and he's told which journalists he's supposed to call on. It's all a freaking scam. Kabuki theater. It's all a mirage. It's all an illusion. Constantly. Everything the Democrats do tends to be some sort of performance or some sort of act. Everything is carefully organized and choreographed. I mean, for Pete's sakes, even the Democrat president of the United States is a fake. He's not actually the president. No, he is simply the actor that is being puppeted along. They're all a bunch of fake talking head puppets. The question is, are you enough of a puppet to fall for it? Or do you have the ability to think for yourself? Do you have the ability to see what is clearly obvious and what is clearly now proven? This is what Democrats do. The Democrats don't exist without their army of celebrities, without their army of TikTok influencers, and of course, the cavalry of lamestream media pundits. Joe Biden doesn't exist without billions of dollars being mobilized to prop him up. And it was the same thing with Hillary Clinton, and frankly, the same thing with Barack Obama. And that's probably why they're acting so irrationally these days. That's probably why they're so scared, because Donald Trump doesn't need to pay people to support him. The Trump team isn't chasing after people like me, giving us big bucks to film scripted content with them. It's totally unnecessary when you're part of a grassroots movement, and obviously the Biden movement is anything but grassroots. Joe Biden, the DNC, has been thoroughly exposed, and Harry Sisson, after months of denying it all, has been exposed as a paid DNC actor, a paid DNC shill. Absolutely wild stuff. FOIA requests are just the best. Anyways, that's pretty much what I got for you guys. Hopefully.
And there you have it. And like I said, you know, the Democrats are just, they're so fake. You know what I mean? They're so fake. But this happens on the right, too. You got to understand that this also happens on the right. It's just, I don't think Donald Trump's the one paying for the people on the right. And I'm going to leave you with this one. This amazing story here. This is crack reporting in 2024 for you. And Donald Trump shared a kind of video meme on Truth Social. And now the media has to make it into a point and laugh situation. But not at the meme, of course. They're confused at the humor. You see, so Donald Trump bizarrely likens himself to solar eclipse declaring event greatest day in history. This is from the Mirror US. You can find this exact same cut and paste article from anywhere else that's liberal as well. Donald Trump has thrown the internet into a frenzy with a peculiar new campaign video. In this video, he metaphorically steps into the role of total solar eclipse sweeping across North America, blocking out the sun with his head. The Great American Eclipse will grace the skies of Mexico, United States, and Canada on Monday afternoon. The rare celestial event wherein the moon passes between the sun and earth, resulting in a brief period of near darkness, will not reoccur in North America until 2024, as per NASA's data. The last time such an extraordinary phenomenon occurred on August 21st, 2017, Trump stood tall on the White House's Truman balcony, presiding over the country as United States president. Then the then 71-year-old publican faced online ridicule when he ignored expert advice and was photographed looking straight into the burning sun without any protective eyewear. And so he looked up there and pointed at something in the sky. Something in the sky for a second and then looked back down. And this turned into a, you know, somebody snapped a photo of it. So that's a still photo. So he's forever looking at the sun, right? Because they say so. Fast forward 7 years and Trump is once more causing a stir online with a peculiar solar eclipse themed promotional video leading up to the U.S. presidential election on November 5th. According to predictions, totality will first be seen in southern Texas, blah, 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 nobody cares. To celebrate the unique celestial event and to promote his political ambitions, Trump posted an 85-second video on Truth Social early on Monday. This is scary stuff, guys. This is scary stuff, just especially if you're a fragile soy boy liberal. The video opens with bold black capital letters against a blazing sun declaring the most important moment in human history is taking place in 2024, while the dramatic score of 2001 A Space Odyssey also Spratch Zarutha, I can't say that, dude, plays. The footage then shows crowd donning eclipse glasses, gazing upwards as a dark silhouette crosses the sun. But there's a twist. Halfway through the video, it's not the moon eclipsing the sun, but rather a massive head of Trump. Onlookers are seen cheering ecstatically before the screen boldly proclaims, "We will save America." This comes amid national polls indicating in a dead heat between President Joe Biden and Donald Trump for 2024 presidential showdown, with the election just 7 months away from the return of the 2020 or from the return of the rerun of the 2020 battle. As the video progresses, the outline of the MAGA icon's head completely obscures the sun, plunging North America into darkness. The video ends with the chants of USA and the words Trump 2024 emblazoned across the screen. Just about an hour before sharing the video, the ex-president posted a series of updates about November 5th being Christian Visibility Day, reiterating that it will be the most important day in the history of our nation. So that's your hard cracking. That's your media. That's your left wing media reporting your facts to you. They reported that Donald Trump shared a meme. And there you have it, folks. Oh, and by the way, most of the polls show Trump ahead of Biden. It's not a neck and neck situation. So anyway, guys, that's all I've got for you. I mean, Clown World is just, it's going to continue spinning on, it would seem. And we all get to enjoy it. All you can do at this point is sit back, laugh, and wait for the election and hope that they don't steal it again. Anyway, guys, until next time, be safe, be prepared, don't be scared of the sun and the moon, and I will talk to you very, very soon.